Welcome to Invitations to Play, Learn, Grow, the podcast. I am your creative solutions creator and professional mess maker. And this week I want to talk about some things that can help overcome some of the struggles we may face with the kids in our lives. We've been talking a lot about behavior and what behavior is trying to tell us and how we can reduce certain behaviors that might be disruptive or unnecessary or inappropriate for certain settings. And we talked last week about some ways that we can reduce and or avoid those things. And I wanted to kind of weave that in this week a little bit to fun experiences that we can still give the kids, even though we are working on reducing or altering behavior, and maybe it's just we're looking to alter the mood of a household or alter the mood of a classroom. And putting certain things in place can do that. It can do that with very little effort, very little kickback, and still make a really big difference on how the environment engages. So one of the things is expectations. We all set and have expectations. The kids do it too. If you listen in on their play, they set expectations. We're going to play this game, or we're going to play this scenario, and this is how we're going to do it, and this is how it's going to end up, and so on and so forth. Some of those expectations are probably pretty unrealistic. But they do it anyways, because one person takes charge and the others kind of just go along with it or find a role for themselves within those rules or expectations or even sometimes limitations. So if you think about expectations, let's look at it from a kid's point of view. What expectations do they have? They have expectations to be entertained, to be cared for, to feel heard, to feel seen, to feel included. Those are expectations. Those are expectations that they probably aren't going to verbalize. But when those expectations aren't met or in some level satisfied, you can bet they're going to bring attention to the fact that something needs to change. And that's a kid's way of telling us that they need something, that something is off. And they should have the space to set that expectation. As long as they understand that they're not the only one involved in the experience. So they may expect to get a certain toy or play a certain role, but they may not be able to fulfill that expectation because other people are involved and expect to have the same role or expect to get the same privilege or whatever the case may be that a conflict arises around. Expectations are something that adults have as well. Adults have expectations for how they expect the kids in their lives or in their care to engage. Than kids do. We set rules. We sometimes give choices to make those rules easier to follow. We also have consequences that we intend to institute when those rules are not followed. Now, these can be rules about behavior. We don't hit. We don't use mean words. We don't scream to get what we want. Those are expectations. And when those things occur anyways, even though we have set that expectation, we have to follow up with, unfortunately, a consequence. Otherwise, the behavior will continue to occur. And we don't want that. And the kids in our lives don't want that. Because it rarely results in positive outcome for them. So, how do we make all of this easier on each other? Well, that depends on whether you're a parent, a teacher, or a caregiver, or some version right now of all three. Which is likely the case for a lot of you listening. Because we've taken on multiple roles and multiple sets of responsibilities. And that can be difficult. That can be a challenge. So I want to continue to help make that easier. And by having rules and expressed expectations, you can do just that. The way I always like to do it is I like to be upfront about what the rules are. When I was in the classroom, I always had a few rules, generally about being kind, following directions, taking responsibility, and a few other things depending on the makeup of the class that I was teaching. And obviously, getting kids to follow any kind of rules, whether it's clean up your own mess, or learn to follow your schedule so you have a successful day, or whatever it is, takes practice, it takes repetition, and it takes work. K kids are not going to automatically pick up a set of rules just because you tell them once. And that's where guidance, support, and reminders come in handy. So I also like to put in place visual guidance, visual reminders, or visual cues for kids in a specific area where they can be gently reminded of what the expectation is, either at a certain time or in a specific area with a specific experience. So I'll use the classroom as my first example, and then I'll come up with one for a home setting. I always labeled everything. So in the art area, I labeled the hooks for the smocks. I labeled the shelf for the paintbrushes. I labeled the lids and the containers for the paint. And also used color-coordinated lids and containers to help the kids put the containers away properly, which also tried to help avoid mixing of paint. Not a big deal. I generally don't worry about that because kids like to see what happens when you mix colors. But I also would have a discussion with them about, though that is a fun experiment, once we mix the paint and it turns icky, we can't use it anymore for multiple colors. So if we mix the yellow and the green, it turns a pretty color, but we can't use it anymore as yellow and or green. And giving them these reasons reminded them to be respectful of the choices that they were making. And over time, I would see them get a different container and take a little bit of yellow and a little bit of green or red or blue or whatever, and they would mix it for themselves to create their own color combination. And I'm okay with that. I have no problem with that. I commend that. But I had to set that rule and that expectation in place in the beginning with gentle reminders to get them to think about the choices that they were making. Now, you can do this with all kinds of things. Perhaps the expectation that you set in place is that your kids will make independent choices for their meals throughout the day. And the easy way to set them up to successfully do that is to either label the shelves in your cupboard or the cupboard doors themselves with images and or words of what is found in this cupboard. And labeling the fridge with how many of the different items that are held in the fridge are allowed to be consumed by each person in a meal. So, for instance, if you have a container of fruit, you may label it with a number one. Or a single piece of fruit, if you use images. So they know they get to pick one for breakfast, or one as part of their lunch. And then perhaps you give them different options
for the main course of their meal. Maybe you have a piece of a casserole or leftover spaghetti, or the option for them to make a sandwich. They only get one of those as well. And then you may have multiple drink options in your fridge. I know I usually do. Although usually I make the choice of coffee no matter what the meal is, but I have other options for other people should I have other people around. But you're obviously not going to make coffee the option for the children in your lives, and they probably wouldn't make that choice anyways. But perhaps you have milk, or you have juice, or you have iced tea, or Kool-Aid, or any number of things. Or you have juice boxes. And again, you're going to label it that they get one. Looking at your drawers and your cupboards, maybe you make a rule and an expectation that they get one cup, one plate, one fork, or one spoon, or one knife for the day. And their choice is to either use it as is throughout the day, or to wash it after every meal. And if they're going to wash it after every meal, they're going to have to learn how you properly wash a dish, because we've all experienced what can happen if you do it wrong. I've done it. It's not usually a big deal, but it's gross and it doesn't generally make you feel very well. But it's a thing that kids don't know and that they need to learn. And they can learn that. So you maybe keep a soapy cloth or a soapy sponge on the edge of the sink. And you give them a cue to scrub their utensil till there's bubbles. And then rinse it back and forth under the water until the bubbles go away. And then instruct them to make sure that they dry it. Kids can do these simple things. These are rules, these are expectations, but it's also a way to give them choices. Choices that make them feel more independent, that allow them to express their wants or their needs at a specific moment. Now, rules and choices and consequences are also a part of play. And you may need to support kids in accepting and learning rules, choices, and consequences in playing a specific game. Kids will often experience big emotions when they play a game with a group and they don't have a positive outcome or experience. And it may not be because they specifically did anything wrong. It's just the way the game worked out. But they don't understand that because they wanted to win. They thought they followed the rules, so they expect to win said game. Well, you can't win every game every time. And that doesn't have to be a negative thing. And maybe the consequence of that is that you need to practice more to get better at the game. That might be something like soccer or baseball, excuse me, or tag. or hide and go seek, or any number of games. This is usually considered some of the growing pains of life. It's never fun to lose, but you have to learn to be a team player, or you have to learn to not be a poor sport. You're not going to win every time. It doesn't mean that you're not good at it. It just means that the odds weren't in your favor, or maybe somebody made a better choice or a different choice that allowed them to win and not you. And again, that's gonna vary depending on the type of game or athletic situation you're talking about. Something like chess or checkers or Chinese checkers, there's a strategy. And just because you lose doesn't mean you're not good at it. It just means that you need to build a better strategy and maybe understand the rules a little bit better to get better at playing the game. And learning things like strategy and rules and tricks and those kinds of things engage all kinds of learning skills and learning experiences that can make kids better critical thinkers, all because they play the game. You know, it can strengthen their listening skills because they have to follow a direction, or perhaps they have to listen to an adult or a coach if they're engaging in practice and wanting to get better. They have to learn tactics and strategies, which requires listening and being willing to follow directions, which again comes back to rules. And again, they can freely choose to listen to all or some of the suggestions, and they will experience the consequence or the reward of the choice that they make, which is another lesson that is valuable for kids being independent and well-rounded as they grow, and also for becoming a better team player. We adults still struggle with not being a sore loser when we lose a game, especially when we work really hard to give our best effort and play by the rules. You know, something like a relay race isn't always easy for an adult. And sometimes our feelings do get hurt when we lose something or something insulting happens, however humorous it might be to the people who are standing by watching. I mean, come on. We as adults can appreciate how funny it is to watch adults hopping across a given area in a burlap sack, or climbing up an inflatable obstacle course and tragically sliding all the way back down to the bottom, unable to catch ourselves halfway down. We learn as adults to take these things in stride. Kids, however, struggle to do that because it bruises their ego. But learning that that's part of practice and bettering your skills can help ease some of the pain of those embarrassing blows. Engaging in things like dramatic experiences, so engaging in a play, is also another practice of making choices and following rules. You have to stand on certain marks and say your lines at certain times. and take certain actions at certain times. And again, following directions can cause big emotions for some of the young ones in our lives. But once they understand the why of the way things are expected to be, it tends to become easier. Why is a really big key in avoiding big emotions and behavioral outcomes that are not useful or helpful. So, I tried to combine unpleasant things to talk about and to put in place with some fun, playful examples of where they're useful. But that's what I want you to take out of this, is that setting expectations of kids' social interactions or their behavior, whether it's in the home or in the classroom or with a caregiver, is a positive thing, because the children in your life are capable of accomplishing and rising to those expectations. And we're often afraid to set those expectations because we don't want to see our kids struggle with certain activities. But I can assure you that that struggle, whether it be a physical, a mental, or an emotional struggle or upheaval, is good for them. It helps them learn that they don't have to be good at everything, and that some things they can just enjoy the experience of and see as a learning experience over something that maybe they feel that they've failed at just because it didn't go the way that they wanted. And that's why I always say, no matter what it is, no matter what the experience, practice makes perfect. And that's true for us adults. We may be uncomfortable setting expectations or reinforcing rules that are set for kids' own good. And we need to practice those things too, because when we do, we will see more positive outcomes for and from the kids in our lives. Because kids of a wide range of ages, believe it or not, crave those things. It gives them a sense of security and stability and expectation of what is coming next or what they should do next. And that's a good thing, because it encourages them to be independent. And so does not only giving them choices, but reinforcing their understanding of why some choices have consequences. Because then it encourages them to think about the choices they're making and will make again and again in the future, whether they want to avoid those consequences or whether the choice, in some cases, might be worth the consequence. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you will join me again next week when I will have something fun and engaging to discuss with you yet again. If you have any questions, you can find me at thecreativecampusonline.com, and you are always free to reach out and share your questions with me. You can also find me by my name on Instagram, where you are free and welcome to send me your questions or leave me your comments on some of the things that I have posted. And I would love to have conversations, not only about these podcast episodes, but about the different activities, tips, tools, and even challenges that I share in that space as well. Thanks for joining me this week. I hope you'll come back next time. And until then, have a great week.